Spirit and truth. Those who say that they know Him must walk as He walked. Those who worship the Lord worship in spirit and truth. Those who say that they know Him must walk as He walked. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. But we don't keep His word, then we walk in the darkness, and the truth's not in us. If we walk in the light, we will have fellowship sweet, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from sin. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. Walk in the light. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light.
Well, good morning, friends. How's everybody doing this morning? It is Wednesday morning already. I say Wednesday because that is certainly the way it looks in phonics, right? Wednesday. I don't know why we call it Wednesday. It should be Wensday, but who knows? English language, right? No wonder why sometimes friends of ours have such a hard time figuring out things, because we do have arguably a weird language. You look at phonics and how things are spelled and all those types of things. It is true. So anyway, good morning to you, Fran, as well. I'm already into the speaking part, not into the typing part right now. Although I did type for me, it's turkey bacon these days, and somebody might be saying, why did you type that? Because Walter's comment, he had, looks like coffee, eggs, and bacon. And I like all of those things, but doctors say, you better lay off the fat, dude. So anyway, turkey bacon it is. And anyway, hey, I shouldn't talk too much about food like toast this morning. How about an Ezekiel muffin, English muffin, Ezekiel English muffin with some almond butter on it? Good fiber, good fats in that almond butter, good for you. Anyway, I'm hungry, I guess, already. Been up for a little while now, so a couple hours, ready to eat. We are on the issue of prayer. We're talking about the things that we need to help young Christians learn, and there may be things that we need to learn. So So if you're an older Christian, like I'm an older Christian, in fact, I'm not just an older Christian, I'm coming to the point quickly where I'm just simply old, and sorry for all the rest of you who are a few years older than me, but you understand what I'm talking about, and it's, yeah. Why am I talking about age? Christians, older. We get older, and there might be things that we haven't learned yet that we need to learn, that let's learn them now, and then let's help others to learn them. The disciples were following Jesus around, and as they followed Jesus around, in fact, very early on in their following of Jesus, you know, maybe within the first year and a half, they're asking the question, Lord, how do we pray? That's a question that will come up. Now, he's going to be doing some teaching. We'll look at this morning some teaching in Matthew chapter 6 and just keep on this theme of prayer. Do you struggle with your prayer life? If you struggle with your prayer life, and there's so many other things today vying for our attention. There used to be days when you know, they didn't have things like the internet. They didn't have things like Facebook and instantaneous news and YouTube and all this stuff that now, you know, you click and over on the wall somewhere is a TV playing that has your news on it. And, you know, so there's so many other things that get in the way. Plus, we filled our schedules so full. And, you know, we need to learn how to pray on the fly. But also, there are just other keys to prayer. But prayer is one of those things that gets pressed down and pressed down and pressed down and pressed down and pressed down. Hopefully, I'll get to it. I have something I'd like to read from an old missionary just to buttress this idea of prayer in our lives. Jesus in Matthew chapter, and what is prayer? What prayer is talking with God. That's what prayer is in a nutshell, but it's much more than that. It isn't just simply talking with God, but it's surrendering to God. It's acknowledging God. It's worshiping God. It's trusting God, all of those things. Matthew chapter 6, we read these words. It says, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. Now, again, I know that the word is hypocrites. I understand that. But I'm saying the word hypocrite because that's what it looks like. Hypo, you think of something that's hypo. Hypo can be diminished or overdone. Maybe it's hypocrites would be better, overdone. You must not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. They wanted men's applause. They're going to get men's applause. They want men saying, hey, you guys are like these big prayer warriors, and they want that applause. They've gotten that applause. Says, but when you pray, there's this drawing this distinction between the hypocrites who were the highly religious people doing this in public. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't pray in public. I believe we should pray in public, but they were praying in public that they would be seen by others. Sometimes we need to pray in public because it's the idea of praying with others. Like this morning, it is Wednesday morning. You could go and partake in prayer at your local assembly if you happen to live in the Morrill area, 9:30 on Wednesday mornings. I think that's still the time. Folks gather for prayer, and sometimes the thing that encourages us in our prayer life is praying with other people. Whatever you got to do. It says, but when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your father who is in secret, and your father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. And that can be us. We can be those who heap up empty words. It's kind of like, I'm not trying to be, I don't want to be overly harsh on this point. I really don't, because there are great, wonderful, beautiful people who pray, but who regularly say, Father God, Lord, Lord, Father God, Lord. I mean, like every other word. It's like, okay, what? But is that a bad thing that's coming off their lips? Not necessarily, but then there can be the empty words as well. I mean, there are evangelical, non-Catholic Christians who repeat phrases all the time. And because sometimes we'll say, well, they're praying the rosary. Well, you know, I had a conversation with a Catholic man on Saturday. And he was another man telling me his prayer life and the things he's praying about. And I will tell you, sometimes if I would ask an evangelical Christian, a Protestant Christian, tell me about your prayer life, they don't have much to say. So before we go after those who are not Protestant, let's just remember that oftentimes they are very devoted, and they know what they're praying about, and they know to whom they're praying. I was convinced of this man's love for the Lord, talking with him on Saturday. It comes down to the issue of the heart. Where is your heart in your prayers? What are your thoughts in your prayers? What are you lifting to God? Are you acknowledging God's worthiness? Are you acknowledging His will in all of these things? So we continue. Let me just get back to the text here. Verse 7 said, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this. In fact, some of the other Gospels would say, Lord, teach us to pray. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray like this. This is the ESV. That's why I'm a little bit tripped up here. Let me get over to the NIV 84. There we go. Verse 9, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. Acknowledging, knowing who He is. Hallowed be your name, giving Him worship, honor, glory due to His name. Your kingdom come. We want what He wants on earth. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, the idea that we look to God for our sustenance, that we know He is the one who ultimately is our provider. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We know our temptations. Are we willing to acknowledge our temptations and our struggles and our failures? But deliver us from the evil one, knowing the nature of the spiritual battle of which we're a part. He says, when it talks in verse 12 about forgive us our debts as we've also forgiven our debtors, Matthew, in his gospel, goes after this in a rather stunning type of way. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you. Now, this isn't talking about salvation, okay? Not that type of forgiveness, the forgiveness that comes with salvation. It's talking about the forgiveness that puts us in right standing in our relationship with God. Salvation gives us the relationship with God, but living in a forgiven state puts us in a right relationship with God. Now, let me go just a little bit further. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they're fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. When you fast, put oil on your head. In other words, clean up, dress up, wash your face. It says, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, some people will say, well, then we should never tell anybody if we're fasting. Well, I'm not going to necessarily go that far, but what I do want to say is this. We have to be so aware of motives in our hearts. What motivates us to share with people that we're fasting? Is it we want to impress someone spiritually? Or is it that we're trying to influence them spiritually that they would also take up the practices of prayer and fasting? That's one of those things we have to examine our heart. Do we pray because we want to impress people? Is our prayer in a public gathering much different than our praying in our private setting? Because if our praying in the public gathering has many words, and sometimes you hear people, they have almost the prayer language. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, their prayers sound just so different, and they use language that they wouldn't maybe normally use, and there's a tone about the way they pray, and it's like, come on, talk to God. Jesus taught them to pray, and within the Lord's Prayer, or the model prayer that we would be looking at in Matthew chapter 6, there is much to that you can work down through. And I'm not going to spend the extra time going all the way through that this morning, because we've already highlighted some things. Our Father talks about the relationship, who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. So, Father, hallowed be your name. It is the idea of again, the worship, the adoration, the acknowledgement of his person, who he is. He is God. He is transcendent. He is holy. He is different. Your kingdom come. I mean, do we want his kingdom on this earth? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. Are we working for his kingdom on this earth? Are we pursuing after his kingdom on this earth? Or are we only just kind of sort of Christian? Do you want what God wants in your neighbor's life? Do we want what God wants for the town of Belfast, our largest town around us here where many of us live? Do you want what God wants for the clerk in the store that you see on a regular basis? Do you want what God wants? So your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what is his heavenly will? What is his earthly will? We try to align those two things. And again, the acknowledgement of his provision of bread, the acknowledgement that we need to forgive others and God forgives us. Temptation, we need to be able to. And this is an area where I think oftentimes we as Christians do such a bad job. We put on our Christian, I've got my act together, how about you? And the fact of the matter is, oftentimes we just need to say, no, I struggle. I struggle with people who tailgate me. I really struggle with that. My blood pressure goes up when people tailgate me. I struggle. And there are certain gestures I want to give. I'm being honest, folks. Or how about something isn't going right and you want to tell somebody off? You know, maybe it's a person on the phone that you're talking to, and you lose your cool because they're in India somewhere and you're having a hard time understanding them, and you go ballistic on them. Well, there went Christ in your conversation. Not a part of it. We need to talk about our temptations. We need to talk about our weaknesses. We need to talk about how we need to pray for each other. You know, some people it could be gambling. Some people it could be any number of things. But to pray for each other. And instead of, I'm Mr. Spiritual Pious, or I'm Miss Spiritual Pious, it's like, I'm a Christian. I am what I am by the grace of God alone, and I thank God for his grace every day, because if it weren't for the grace of God, I would be an utter disaster. As it is, I'm still plenty of a disaster, but by God's grace, I'm not a worse disaster. And God is working on me to make me what he wants me to be. That'd be a great little song, wouldn't it? Prayer. The power of prayer. What comes through prayer? Well, I'm going to turn over, and I want to read to you from J. Oswald Sanders. Now, J. Oswald Sanders is no longer with us. J. Oswald Sanders was the director of Overseas Missionary Fellowship, used to be called that. I'm not sure what OMF is called today. It was the ministry started by J. Hudson Taylor over in China. I want to read at least some excerpts from this writing that he did on effective prayer. There is this quote that it begins, it says, if prayer is meager, it is because we consider it supplemental, not fundamental. And that is a fantastic prayer. It's supplemental. It's an extra thing. It's the last thing we do when we have a headache. Okay, we have a headache. We have taken Tylenol. We've taken sinus medicine. We've taken ibuprofen. I still have a headache. What should I? Oh, I'll pray. How novel. How about being people who learn first to turn to God in prayer in all things? We're told to pray in all situations. In fact, maybe I will conclude with a passage from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He begins, because many of us are going to feel what J. Oswald Sanders writes. He begins and says this, prayer is a paradox. No spiritual exercise is such a blending of complexity and simplicity. It is the simplest form of speech that infant lips can try, yet the sublimest strains that reach the majesty on high. It is as appropriate to the aged philosopher as to the little child. It is the explosion of a moment in the attitude of a lifetime. It is the expression of the rest of faith and the fight of faith. It is both an agony and an ecstasy. It is submissive yet importunate. In the one moment, it lays hold of God and binds the devil. It can be focused on a single objective, and it can roam the entire world. It can be abject confession and rapt adoration. It invests puny man with a sort of omnipotence. Small wonder, then, that even its greatest exponent and example was forced to admit we do not even know how we ought to pray. But he was swift to add, the Spirit comes to the aid of our weakness. This is speaking the Apostle Paul. Through our inarticulate groans, the Spirit himself is pleading for us. And God, who searches our inmost being, knows what the Spirit means, because he pleads for God's own people in God's own way. That's from the New English Bible. Our Lord left us in no doubt of the part prayer was to play in the missionary enterprise. He clearly placed it on a prayer basis in the memorable words, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest field. Folks, that's you and I, the very people to whom he said, you go and pray. Within the next chapter, Matthew chapter 10, he says, oh, by the way, tag, you're it. Now, that's a paraphrase. You know it's a paraphrase, but that's exactly how things flowed. Paul and Barnabas set out on the first missionary journey to the accompaniment of prayer and fasting. And ever since, the missionary cause has advanced upon its knees. Where prayer has been prevailing, it has prospered. Where prayer has been lukewarm, it has languished. It is not strange that in spite of our conviction of its privilege and necessity, we are plagued with a subtle aversion to praying. We do not naturally delight in drawing near to God. We pay lip service to its value and potency, and yet so often fail to pray. When I go to pray, confessed one eminent Christian, I find my heart is so loth to go to God, and when it is with him, so loth to stay. It is here that self-discipline comes in. When thou feelest most indisposed to pray, counseled an old divine, yield not to it, but strive and endeavor to pray, even when thou thinkest thou canst not pray. Here is an area in which we can avail ourselves of the Spirit's promised assistance in our weakness. Intercessory prayer takes time, but could hours be more strategically spent? Time is a commodity of which there seems to be universal and chronic shortage. Lack of time is a much overworked excuse for the neglect of spiritual duty. And yet, strangely enough, even in the midst of an exacting routine, we always contrive to find time for all we urgently want to do, like stopping at Dunkin' Donuts. Now, J. Oswald Sanders didn't write that. That's a parenthetical for me. It says, in reality, the fundamental problem lies... lies not in the time factor, but in the realm of will and desire. For each have the time there is, and we each choose our own priorities. We automatically place first that which we deem most important. If prayer is meager, it is because we consider it supplemental, not fundamental. To our Lord, it was not a reluctant addendum, but a fundamental necessity. The time we spend in prayer will depend on the way in which we allocate our priorities. If we share Christ's view of the indispensability of prayer, we will somehow make time for it. Now there's so much more that I can read. This goes on for at least a few more pages. J. Oswald Sanders writing about prayer. Prayer. How important. How critical. A part of our lives, that Paul would write these words to us. It's something that we can go to our closets and practice. The idea of the closet prayer. The War Room would be a great movie to watch if you've not watched that movie that speaks about getting prayer into the place of prominence into our lives. But the Apostle Paul would write this about prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Down at verse 16, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Joyful always, continual prayer, thanks in all circumstances, and it highlights this is God's will for you. You want to know what God's will is? It's right there. It tells us exactly what God's will is. In this passage, it is his will that we're joyful. It is his will that we're continually prayerful. It is his will that we give thanks in all circumstances. That is God's desire for you and for me. And so pray. And you say, but how do I pray continually? Well, we can talk to God continually. We can talk to God any time of day or night, he is always there. So I drop in, as I conclude, this one other small, thin little booklet that you can read, Practicing the Presence of God. This is a book that I would encourage you, if you've not read, go to Amazon right now, order it, or find it on Audible. The weakness I find with Audible, with Practicing the Presence of God Brother Lawrence of the Resurrection, is the person reading it is a female, and it's a man. It's the autobiography of a man. I think they should have used a man's voice to read that book. But he speaks of how he in his life learned just to be constantly aware of God, that he could continually be prayerful, he could continually be thankful and praising God all the time. I'll probably come back to this theme of prayer one more day, and I encourage you, let's grow together. This is a fundamental practice of the Christian life that we need to hone in on. I need to hone in on. We need to get better at what would God do in answer to prayer. Lord, help us. Lord, teach us. Even as the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, we say the same. Lord, teach us to pray. In Jesus' name, Lord, hear our prayer. Amen. Have a great day, everyone. See you tomorrow.